It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine.
We start hour two with this. We are going to give you an opportunity. Rock the Mic is back. It's returned. And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Whether you already have a podcast or have always wanted to start one, now is your chance. You can enter by sending a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner will be announced at our live finale on August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. So if you have any interest in doing a podcast, as the liner told you, or have one currently, send in a clip, a video to us, because your podcast will be on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. So that's cool. Got a chance to do that. rockthemic975@gmail.com. So we found the sound, and by we, it's me. It's not that hard. Just type in Astros Draft on Twitter. You'll be able to find it. And or just go to the official Astros account. They have it up there too. And it's a little rough for the account to, you know, announce your first round pick, and it's a cascade of boos. And you'll hear, look, we painted it as like a little kid. It's like a 13 or 14 year old girl, maybe even older. I'm not sure. It's not a young child, but it is someone who's not an adult, and the Arlington crowd decided to take the opportunity to unleash all their frustrations on someone because they have an Astros jersey. Just trying to do a really cool thing. You're on MLB Network. Tell all your family, hey, I'm going to announce the Astros draft pick. Watch. And this is what they got in return.
With the 28th pick of the 2024 MLB draft, the Houston Astros select Walker Yannick, a catcher from Sam Houston. The Arizona Diamondbacks have the next pick.
Well done. I don't know the young lady's name, but well done by her. Composure. She had it. She read. She was good. But she had to elevate her voice, raise her voice to be heard, although the mic would have taken care of it. But you could tell she noticed it. Rob Manfred, as we talked about, noticed it. He was like, hey, what are we doing? Relax. And the Rockets, the Astros, it's about, I don't know, 15-second clip. I think if you had heard the whole thing, the boos had begun way before, but they only got the clip of her saying it, her announcing who's next, and that's it, because it wasn't pretty. I would say relax, everybody. But Sean is like, you know what? Rivalries are a rivalry. You put on that Astros jersey, you go into enemy territory, that's what you can expect.
Yeah. I mean, from what I'm hearing, they booed before the pick was made. They probably booed when the logo popped up.
Oh, just, yeah, I think it was an ongoing thing.
You just start booing, and then, oops, it's a teenage girl. All right, well, what are we going to do? Stop booing?
Could have been ready.
And the boos picked up once the player got picked.
Yeah, it got louder.
So they did have some decorum of like their heart wasn't as into it, where it's like, all right.
They're like, oh man, what are we doing? But once that name got mentioned, all right, we're gonna hate you for life.
A catcher from Sam Houston State? Boo.
Well, Astro hate lives on in Arlington, and their team came here and took 2 out of 3. Thanks to a lot of things. That fifth inning where they had bases loaded and no outs and didn't push a run across. I mean, it's not always a harbinger of things to come. It's not like when you miss a layup on one end and then the other team automatically goes scores on the other. It's not like that in basketball, but that's an opportunity to get control of that game, and they didn't, and eventually it led to losing. Montero gives up a 2-run homer late, and that was the margin, you know, Lou Perfetto and the rest pushed across the run in the bottom of the ninth, but it wasn't enough. They lose that one 4-2, lose 2 out of 3. So, away from the Astros and away from Arlington booing, there wasn't booing. I'm sure there was a lot of yelling, before the Copa America match yesterday, I watched this. I kept track of it on Twitter because I had a debate in my head, Sean. Was I going to wait if it was going to start on time, watch the complete game, and then, of course, it went into extras. Was I going to watch the complete game from 7 to 9:15 or whatever it might be and then watch House of the Dragon? Or was I going to watch from 7 to 8, say, screw it, watch House of the Dragon, and say, you know what? I'll find out the score later. Turns out, because of what happened beforehand, I got to watch an entire episode. There were no goals scored when I tuned back in, and then I watched the final goal, the deciding goal, in extra time. So, if you don't know, yesterday in Miami, the final of Copa America took place between Argentina and Colombia. Argentina went on to win. Messi had a bad ankle sprain. It might be worse. We'll see what it's diagnosed with after. But you can see swollen ankle. He was injured earlier in the game and then aggravated it late on a non-contact thing, so people were worried about an Achilles. Thankfully, it appears just to be an ankle issue. He missed the bulk of the second half and obviously didn't play in extra time. So the game was delayed an hour and 15 minutes because of, let's just say, a lack of security and a lack of infrastructure before the game. People showed up without tickets. People tried to get in. There was a crush because they couldn't handle the volume of people. Stadium security stopped letting people come in. That didn't stop people from pushing up against others and trying to get in. Eventually, whether it be people crawling over gates, trying to get into like AC vents, which is some wild, wild stuff. I don't know. I don't know if they had plans. Like at one point, they're going to break into Hard Rock and steal some stuff. So they knew how to get into things.
Like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they thought those vents were going, how they knew they were going to wind up in the right place. But at points, they were trying to crawl into vents, crawling over gates. But the scariest part was trying to get through entrances and watching the barrier gates fall down and people just screaming and you see kids crying and because you're almost about to get trampled. Luckily, it appears no one was seriously injured. Certainly haven't heard about any deaths. But it delayed that game an hour and 15 minutes. So there were people in without tickets who were sitting in other people's seats. So stadium, I think it was estimated that 7,000 people more than should have been in the building were. At least that was one person's estimate. Who knows how they knew that. Eventually, you saw police officers during the middle of the game walking up to seats and going, hey, do you have a ticket? Show me. And if you don't, beat it. So their reasoning, and there was a statement put out by Hard Rock Stadium, the venue, saying, hey, we let those people in because we were in fear of something really awful happening, as I'm paraphrasing. So at a point, they let them in. Police came in and kicked people out that they could. There were still obviously more people there than should have been. And they were rewarded with an ugly game.
God.
That game was awful.
I mean, that is a little bit of what a lot of the Copa ball has been.
True.
Which is just, if you're at any sort of disadvantage as the defense, just foul the hell
chop
out
them
of
down.
Just foul
just
the
chop
hell out
that
of them.
Person down.
I don't even know. It's like in basketball, for people who don't watch soccer and didn't watch this, it's like imagine a basketball game where there's a whole bunch of fast breaks and every single time they just take a foul. They like take the foul to stop the transition.
It's the backups in the summer league game.
Yeah.
when your draft picks or your recent draft picks aren't in the game and even your two-way guys are in the game, it's just the guys you just picked off the street that are playing. You're pretty much your backups. That's what it looks like. Fast breaks can't be run. Simple offense can't be run. Bad passes are played. It was a interesting experience, particularly after watching the Euros. I mean, the second half was good. The first half is whatever. I mean, it was better played than Copa overall, particularly the final. But yeah, Argentina wins, and they pulled off something that Spain did in their best run: winning the Euros, winning the World Cup, then winning the Euros. Now Argentina's done it. They won the Euros, well, in what some people thought was Messi's last.
Well, they didn't win the Euro.
No, excuse me. They won Copa in what some people thought was Messi's last major tournament. Then they won the World Cup, and then they win the Copa again. So they in their last three major tournaments they've been in, they won them. I can't remember any other team besides Spain doing it since I've been paying attention to international football or soccer. So credit to Argentina. It was an ugly match. But they're winners. They just find a way. And, you know, once James went off for Colombia, kind of changed the complexion. They didn't have much, as they say, quality on the field, Sean. It became my favorite part of it was when guys would get chopped down, but there wasn't a foul call. So they went from screaming in agony to getting up and go, oh, okay, I'm not getting this. Let me just pop right back up and go continue to play. So I was like, okay, I'm seeing it from a distance. I don't know if the referee's right, but judging by your reaction, he's right, because you got right back up after rolling around. Because wait a minute, this is going in the other direction at 100 miles an hour. I better get up, or I'm going to leave my team at a disadvantage.
It felt like that was the entire second half and extra time was a middling scoring opportunity. Not even like a particularly awesome scoring opportunity.
Very rare, the great ones, yeah.
Just a okay scoring opportunity. Guy gets dispossessed. Guy loses the ball. Is on the ground dead.
Yeah.
And then as Argentina or Colombia is taking the ball the other way, which, by the way, they're not really pressing super hard on the counterattack because they're also exhausted.
Sure.
And if they did, guess what they would get? A cleat to the ankle. That's what they would get.
Yes.
If you ever try to counterattack, just nope.
If you dared even try to score, there's a cleat landing someplace between your toe and your ankle because, hey, a yellow card's okay. We're not trying to get a red. We're not going to go higher. But you're going to feel a cleat. You're going to feel a stud. And that was kind of the ball game.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. It was just hack a Shaq.
Hack a Di Maria, hack a Messi, hack a James, all of it as Colombia goes down. And I don't think they've won a Copa since 2001, but Argentina's done it as I laid out for you. Two in a row with the World Cup sprinkled in between for the champions of South America and the champions of the world. And now Inter Miami gets to deal with not playing Messi and the MLS crowds who are hoping he's going to be in their building. Oh, you saw his ankle. I would say, I don't want to say anything that would hurt MLS too much, but if I was a fan and I saw that ankle, I'm putting those tickets on the secondary market right now. If you think Messi's showing up to your building in the next couple weeks, forget about
it. Just the second they showed him crying on the bench, just boom.
Secondary market right now. Before anyone realizes. Maybe someone's not even watching Copa. Oh, Messi tickets are on. They're available. I'm going to buy them. Good. Buy my tickets. Because he ain't coming to your house. I know he's coming to, well, at least Inter Miami. He's supposed to be in Houston in early August, maybe? I don't know about that.
Can't wait to watch Luis Suarez.
Well, he's pretty good. But,
he is pretty good.
Yeah, but he's not Messi. So if you had Messi tickets, or, I mean, they're actually dubbed Inter Miami tickets, but we know they're Messi tickets. When do they come to Houston? Or maybe they're playing. I have to look. I think it's a match, not against the Dynamo, but maybe in League's Cup. I have to look. I'm not sure. But if you had tickets anywhere in this great country to see Messi in the next month or so, give them back. Find a way to sell them. Peña, I see you. You want to talk about the game of the day? It's a video game, by the way. He wants to talk about that. I wonder if we have an answer to his plan. Because if we remember, Peña was going to have a family trip the weekend the game came out officially. It's coming out early today, but it's going to come out on Friday. Did he get the deluxe edition? Is he still stuck? We don't know. We'll talk to Peña when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
So we did the research. By research, simply typing in a couple words. There is a Inter-Miami match here in town on August 3rd, but it's not for the MLS. It's for League's Cup. They're going to be playing Tigres of Liga MX. You saw Messi's ankle. As Sean put it during the break, the Magic Johnson, I'm not going to be here. Messi ain't going to play. That ankle suggests a bit of a recovery. So that's a blow if you were hoping to see Messi with Inter Miami here in town. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. That was nasty how that ankle swelled up. Peña wants to talk about something I care quite a bit about. Going to be enjoying it, you know, about 3.5 hours from right now. What's up, Peña?
Hey, what's going on? So, yeah, a couple weeks ago I did call y'all and ask for some help for an excuse. Well, I got my excuse. Shout out to Beryl. You helped me out. We rearranged our plans. We postponed them for September. So all I got to say is, we did it!
Pena, are you going... he keeps hanging up. I was going to ask him, is he going to be a guy who does it today? But I guess he's going to stick with his regular release purchase. And he'll be playing on Friday, like a lot of you. Sean and I, because we're sickos, Sean, supreme sicko, if you know the backstory, will be playing this afternoon. Lazy J, you got some slander to catch right now, considering what your goat did in the Euros. What's up?
Hey, Dale. What's going on, brother? I know you ain't talking.
Yep, I'm
another
talking.
Another year, Messi's getting carried by De Maria, but that's your goat.
It's not my goat. I don't care about rankings, but you call up here all the time about goats. How many goals has your goat scored in knockout competitions?
Okay, we're not going to talk about that.
No, you don't want to talk about Ronaldo's lack of production?
Hey, aren't you 39?
I'm talking about... I ain't talking about this tournament. I'm talking about through his entire career. You saw those stats. It is trash.
Okay.
What happened to him?
Okay.
How come he's only scoring against like how come he's only scoring against like Macedonia? What happened? He's like one for 62 in direct free kicks in Euros and World Cups. What are we doing? What are we doing? That's your goat?
Man, he's 39, man. Calm down.
No,
39.
1 for 62 ain't about this tournament. It's about his entire career. You can do all that stalking away from the ball and that weird stance that only you do. 1 for 62? Come on. That's your goat.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna put it like this. I think De Maria is Scottie Pippen. And, you know, I'm giving that comparison because, you know, Jordan didn't win nothing without Scottie. So I'm thinking maybe if De Maria wasn't there, I think Messi would probably be, you know, he probably wouldn't even be winning at all anyway.
Didn't Ronaldo have Nani?
Okay.
Okay.
I'll come back.
Okay.
I really wanted to come in quiet and talk about basketball right quick if you had time.
Oh, cool.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Rockets, man. I like them being young, but, I mean, I still think we need a veteran. You think maybe we could trade for maybe LaVine in Chicago? I'm not really feeling Jimmy Butler coming to Houston. They were talking about Durant at one time. I'm thinking if Phoenix falls off and come trade deadline, All-Star weekend, maybe he wants out of Phoenix. Maybe we can, you know, maybe trade him for maybe Durant will come to Houston maybe along with somebody else. I want to get your thoughts on that on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, the Rockets, as we actually have an actual conversation as opposed to just yelling at each other about
things. I'm just glad Nani got his flowers.
Yeah. MLS legend, Nani. So, the Rockets, yes, they are young. And if you want them to be better, and by better I mean, I don't know, whether we're talking contender or top 4 or 5 seed, a trade for a star player who would be older, because those are the only ones that you could probably grab right now, I get why that would be appealing. But are you giving up picks and youth for old and expensive to top out at a 4 or 5? I know a 5 seed just made the finals. But generally, if your number one, in this case, is 34, 35, you don't want his 2, 3, and 4 to be in their early 20s. That doesn't compute for winning. So I get the want to go get a star, go get an established player because it gives you some credibility. But I don't think the guys who would be left over are good enough to win anything that you might think is worth it when you think about who you're going to have to give away. So, or at least trade, maybe giveaway is too strong. So you think about it. Do you want to roll into a year where it's maybe you're using Dylan Brooks to make salaries work, but it's let's say in your example, at the All-Star break, Phoenix stinks and they want their picks back that the Rockets acquired this offseason from the Nets. So you're taking Durant. You're sending Dylan Brooks out to make the money work. I don't know who you consider your untouchables, but let's say they go, hey, Brooks, Green, Jabari, and picks. Are you doing that to watch Kevin Durant try to drag the rest of those guys through the playoffs when we know his age is a big factor. I don't feel like that's a great return if you are at best a second round exit. The problem for the Rockets, maybe it's not a problem. They probably don't consider a problem. But the problem for people who are looking to get better quickly and maybe be in contention quickly, which I understand considering how bad it's been before the month of March last year, all the guys you'd be going in on are old. You would have like a two-year window. You're not – maybe Donovan Mitchell in a year decides, you know what, I'm glad I took the bag from Cleveland, but I don't want to be here anymore. But there aren't any superstars in their prime that are available. And that would get my way of making a move. I'm not acquiring some 35-year-old and giving up flexibility when it comes to picks and then talent and youth. What's Fred VanVleet and Kevin Durant and Şengün enough? No.
Yeah, it would have to be Booker or
someone in their mid to early 20s for me.
Yeah, if we're just talking about the Phoenix guys, it'd be Booker over Durant, yeah, or just anyone in that Booker age range, sure, whether it's Markkanen.
But even Markkanen, I don't know if I'm trading a lot for Markkanen. I get he's good, but
you might be paying.
You're paying max money for a guy who's at best a number two, three, maybe on a very good team.
Yeah, so you're paying number one money for a number two. It's tough. Some of it's just kind of a timing deal where the timing just isn't right with whether it's the contracts or the disgruntlement for these stars to make a move right now. And the good thing with the Rockets is they have time on their side.
Yeah.
At a certain point, they can kind of wait for the right move and not just make a desperation type move where they are trading the farm for a guy who isn't the perfect fit. They can afford to wait a little bit with all the guys in their early 20s and I guess now a teenager that they have, and all the future picks that they have now from the Suns. So there is, again, time is on their side. I get Lazy J wanting just like, hey, can we get a real...
You want to speed this up a little bit.
Or just like a guy I know is a star.
Sure.
Because even if we're talking about the two kind of cornerstones of this Rockets rebuild, it's Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green, who haven't fully announced themselves as stars and haven't fully done it for a long period of time. Şengün a little bit longer last year, but even then, you still wonder about how they fit together then, if you can get the most out of them while they're both on the court. So I get what Lazy J is saying. It's just, it's tough because, A, you see what Mikal Bridges went for. You see what the price for Mikal Bridges is. And he's someone that you wouldn't be excited about.
No.
So the price is high. The timing's not right.
You can wait it out. 6 months from now, there might be a guy who's disenchanted who fits the timeline better, where they're in their 27 to 28 year age, and you got a real shot to acquire him, and you can pair him with what's left, and so he fits with the development path of the players you really like. And we heard some news, at least Rafael Stone is telling the world they're not trading Şengün. The news came out that the Knicks were interested. We talked about it last week, you know, those 2 days that we were here. But not happening. Şengün is not someone they're looking to trade. When they decide to pay him, that's up for debate. Sure. As Sean told you, they got time to make that decision. But Rafael Stone asked and answered about the future of Şengün. He'll be a Rocket, you know, until the right deal comes available. And we talked about this, and that's my caveat there. We talked about this. The Knicks, they don't have anything the Rockets would want. If there is a superstar that wants out and is of the right age, and the deal breaker is either you give a Şengün or you don't get him, that'll be a test of the Rockets' mettle when it comes to how much they think of him. But that's purely hypothetical, and we don't know when that could happen. But if it does happen, I would be interested to see what they say. If there's like some hypothetical 27-year-old who says, I want Houston, and the team's like, well, it's going to take Şengün. We'll see what they say. But for now, Shingun's going to be a Rocket for the foreseeable future. We got a couple more segments to go. Coming up next, I'm going to ask the important questions of Sean. Pena called about it. He thanks Barrow for its service. Sean got all of his services back yesterday. So it was good timing. So we'll ask him what he's going to do with, well, what he's going to do from about 4 o'clock today through the next week, because the man's going to be very busy playing a video game. And you think that's slander, but it's not, because I'm going to be the same way. So we'll talk to Sean about that. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. But first, before that, I guess, or you can call him before. If you want to interrupt this, that's fine. But before we get to you, we'll get to Sean and how he's going to plan out his week. Dynasty, is he going to start with Play Now to get himself accustomed? Is he going to head right into online stuff? Who knows? It's Sean Mapes' time. We're just living in it when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we have audio from Nick Saban, no longer the coach at Alabama, but going to be a featured guest during the week that is, or I don't know how many days is it, 2 to 3 days for SEC Media Days. He was doing the car wash type thing, showing up in different places around the facility, answering questions, giving quotes, and he said something somewhat inflammatory. Look, I only got the caption. I haven't heard the audio. I sent it to Sean. We'll play that. We'll eventually get to asking Sean questions, but, you know, listeners get priority. He called in with an actual name. Could be a fake name. We'll find out. And the subject matter makes me think it's questionable. What's up, Philip?
Hey, what's up, Dale?
What's up, man?
Hey, I've been listening to you for a long time since, you know, you and John and Lance. And, you know, I'm from Houston, but I'm living up here in Pennsylvania now. I was just asking. I mean, I didn't know if it was inflammatory or anything like that. I don't mean to be
I'm joking. I thought I heard you say he, him. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I thought I heard you say he, him. And I was like, what? Are we doing pronouns on the radio? I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be inflammatory or nothing.
Well, Philip, I was joking about the inflammatory thing, but in reference to what I might have just, you know, stumbled over a word and said he, him more than anything else. I don't think I was questioning anyone's gender. That's probably...
No. But, you know, I listened to you for a long time. I mean, I even talked to you a while back, maybe a couple of years ago. I called in. You remember I said Del Olalea, or you remember John and Lance answered, and I asked y'all a question about the Texans back then, before Texans were a good team.
Philip, I would say, if considering what's gone on in this show so far, I don't think I was doing he, him, she, her thing. I probably just stumbled and maybe corrected myself in the middle. That's all it was, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just like, wow, we're on the radio, and now we have to do that stuff. And I'm not saying that it's bad or wrong or whatever. I'm just saying, like, I guess the culture's changing. Philip, I mean, I'm a 52-year-old man, and
Philip, I would say in this instance, the culture hasn't changed that much. I actually don't remember, but I'm going to guess it was simply me stumbling over something more than anything else. Because if I would probably have just said he/him,
right?
And caught myself.
No, but you got a good show. I love listening to you. I mean, I'm glad you got your own show, especially you have to deal with John and Lance.
Very true.
So yeah, man, you keep up the good work, Dale. I mean, you're doing a good job, man.
I appreciate it, Philip. Call in more often if you so choose. You got the time. I appreciate that from you. Yeah, I would have to think back, Sean. Do you remember what it might have been that I think it's my explanation probably holds true.
Yeah.
I probably just went back and forth between something, and it sounded like I was doing the whole gender thing.
Yeah, because if you did do it, it would have caught my ear, too.
Yeah.
And it didn't. You know, pop up on my radar.
So got it.
I would have called you out on it.
Thanks. Anyway. I appreciate it.
What the hell is this?
Hey, are we a sports talk show or not?
Yeah.
Philip, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the kind words. And you haven't listened in a long time. But we'll get to this. We'll get to the Nick Saban thing in the next segment quickly with Sean, because Sean will be taking the week off starting at about 3:15 if he can get out of here. He does have an okay, you're checked out at 2:30. I understand that. I do get that.
1:30.
Don't ask me any more questions, guys. Please. Paul, the audio, please. Enough.
I got it.
Enough of that. It's going to be a rough one for Paul, right? Because no Joe in the building.
Yeah.
So you're going to check out at 1:30 and leave Paul to his own devices for about an hour and a half?
Not leave him to his own devices. Just he's not going to get 100% effort.
I'm glad he knows now. If he didn't know already.
Might be able to hear me.
Yell out the door. Hey, 1:30. We're done here.
Just throw it in cruise control.
Yeah. Sean won't be here for the rest of the week. I believe Austin will be filling in Tuesday through Friday. So, Sean, you're out the rest of the week because of our most important game ever. It's been gone for over a decade now. Or actually maybe just... No.
Yeah. 11 years.
Yeah. It came out in 13. It was called 14, but it came out in 13. So we're talking over 11 years since a college football game was made. I got a couple questions, not so intensive.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to crush you about your recruiting pipelines and what you want to do there. But who will you play with first?
So turning on the game, loading it up. It's got to be Texas in a play now.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm taking a knee on first and one, or first and ten. Out of respect. Yes, for all of our fallen soldiers.
So you're going to be behind the chains in your first game that early?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so Texas.
Hey, some things are bigger than football, Dale.
okay. Sure.
I don't know who I'm going to play against.
Will it be a home game?
Probably either A&M or Oklahoma. If it's Oklahoma, then it's going to be in the Cotton
Bowl. I've seen a lot of people who are content creators, so they've gotten beta. The beta version of the game.
I'm an
early.
Alpha only.
Yeah, me too. We get the game when Big it's alpha. Complete before the first patch, I guess. So they've got to play a lot. I've seen a lot of Oklahoma. I have not seen a game at College Station yet, so that might be some of interest to me. I've seen a lot of games in Austin. I've seen a lot of games at Ohio State and Penn State. Well, Penn State, for the most part, people love the White House stuff. So maybe College Station might be a place I go to first. So Texas is your first play now game.
Yes.
So we've already answered the second question. Will it be a play now? We jump right into Dynasty.
No, play now. Got to get my feet wet, Del.
Are we spending the whole afternoon playing play now before we jump into Dynasty?
A game or two.
Okay, and then you're in to Dynasty.
Yes.
I think I'm going to spend a lot of time just playing game. I haven't played the game. Well, I don't want much pressure. I don't want to care. I don't care about recruiting right now. Oh. I just want to play games in different environments. And my college football game kink is to see if they have properly replicated how the option plays by the computer. Like, I can run the option and kind of read out the keys and be okay with it, mm-hmm. but they were never able to do the flex bone. And by the way, the option, I mean the naval or the service academies, Air Force, Army, Navy. Do they properly have the computer run the option? If they do that, then I know cooking with grease.
Okay.
So that I might just send, some random team into Fort Collins is that Colorado State? Where is it? Or is that Air Force? Wherever Air Force plays.
That's Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. I'm going to send them there and just see if Air Force runs me out of the building because I can't defend the option. If they have been able to replicate the flex phone, we're good.
Is it going to be Miami?
No. I don't. I probably won't play with Miami that much. Maybe if I start a dynasty.
Oh, come on. Cam Ward.
Maybe in online games just to stake my claim. But as far as play now stuff, I probably will just go around the country playing games in different spots that I like. I do want to see if finally the flex bone has been replicated correctly. So we'll see. Sean's got a lot of time on his hands to figure out the proper way to play this game.
Figure out rice football.
Oh, you're going to run a rice dynasty.
Yeah, you know. Gotta help him out, you know. They've been floundering for too long. I am going to do a Sam Houston State one. New FBS team
that's
last
cool.
year.
Yeah, I'm thinking about. I don't think I'm picking a powerhouse. It's not my thing. I'm thinking about cool uniforms, good place to play.
Yeah. East Carolina's on that list.
True. I'm not feeling the color purple, but I like the chrome helmets that are purple. So these are the things us nerds are trying to figure out as the game is now just over 3 hours away from
being
available. Get a feel
for some of these playbooks.
Yeah. And apparently they're very unique. I would tell people from what I've seen, do not man up Texas.
No.
Those guys, Bond and Wingo, if you throw them in there,
yeah,
they run by everyone.
Just to let you know, it's going to be kneel down on first and 10. Second and 12.
A nine route?
Flea flicker.
Oh, the double reverse flea flicker. Flicker, I've seen quite a bit too. I'm playing soft zone early just to make sure.
Keep everything in front of you.
Keep everything in front of me. Get stops in the red zone. We're going to play this. Just held in the three. Maybe force a turnover. Force them to drive the field. Make them get impatient and see what we can do. We'll come back with a guy who loved playing defense, loved coaching it, Nick Saban. He had thoughts about those Texas Longhorns and what they might do in the SEC. He may differ from what the people in Austin think. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So some good news for some of you who have been trying to listen to us throughout, well, really since Barrel hit. You know, we've had issues whether we couldn't even be on the air overall, or maybe the stream was down, or maybe you could only hear us on 92.5. Well, 97.5 is good to go, 92.5 is good to go, and our HD2 signal, 97.9, is operating as well. But, you know, I know some of you watch us on the stream and you're, you know, you listen, on the app or you're at work. So the only way you're going to hear us throughout the day is through online. Well, we figured something out, thanks to AD, our engineer, that even if our provider that's having issues with power has another one, we have a backup. So hopefully that maintains. So even when things go down with the primary, we'll be able to stay on and stream and get you on YouTube and Twitch. So we're working on things. I know we got a reputation, but trust, we're out here working, particularly AD in that regard, to make sure we can stay on if things go awry. As simply put, CenterPoint does what they have to do to make sure everything's stable. Things might happen at that building, and we'll have a backup. So that's good to hear as we try to broadcast through all our normal channels. Well, Nick Saban, before we wrap it up, may be done coaching, but he's not done talking about college football. He is, I think it's in, what is it, Birmingham, or is it in Atlanta this year?
It's in Dallas.
Oh yeah, they did move it to Texas. Is that because of the Longhorns?
Who's to say?
It's in Dallas. It's traditionally been SEC Media Days, traditionally been in the Deep South. Now, it's a little more west than normal, but it's in Dallas, and Nick Saban's doing the rounds. And when asked about Texas and their impact on the SEC, this is what the former Alabama Tide coach had to say.
That's always the challenge in the SEC. You know, what kind of tickles me is all these people asking these questions about how Texas always ran the conference they were in. Anyway, they're not going to run the SEC. There's a whole lot of arrogant people in a lot of places in the SEC, so they can forget all about that. They'll be a good team and a great program, and Sark will do a great job, but that's not going to be a problem.
When did all this Texas run the Big 12 stuff start? I know they won it on their way out, but they weren't exactly running the Big 12.
Yeah, I get you're busy, but
yeah.
Does he think there's still the Southwest Conference?
Yeah, I don't know. That maybe that's the perception of arrogance that Texas was giving off, and he could feel that through his arrogance in Tuscaloosa. But the Big 12 people tell you, I don't know all about that running the Big 12 stuff you're putting on Texas. They are fine, and they've turned it around under Sark for a year. But relax, running the Big 12.
Yeah, it feels a little straw man-ish because, like, are there people out there that are like, they're going to run the SEC? Like, no one runs the SEC, except for him.
He did it. And even at the end, I know he left with the title, but at one point, he's getting a little shaky because Kirby was about to run the SEC and get to his third straight title game and maybe win it until, you know, Alabama stepped in and
stopped
that.
LSU got two titles off of him.
Yeah.
Auburn got a title.
I mean, Saban, if we're going to say someone runs the SEC, it would be his time during Alabama. During his time with Alabama.
Even even during that time, the other teams win.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Other teams win the conference.
Sure. It's happened. You'll get upset, or maybe you have an all-time team at LSU that wins one. And Georgia was putting out pros after pro after pro, so they got their two as well. So I don't know if anyone can run the SEC, and maybe that's his point. But to your point, no one was saying Texas is going to run the SEC. They just got a real shot early to be very good. Maybe they win the conference in year one. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, maybe they win year one. I don't think we're going, yep, get ready, folks.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be.
This thing's over.
Yeah, I don't know if Texas people are saying it's going to be a movie in the SEC.
Well, it is going to be a movie.
Oh, there it is. The Texas person did say it. I tried to shoot you guys some bail, and you wouldn't let me do it.
It's going to be a movie. I don't know if we're going to run it.
Could be a horror movie.
Yeah.
It could be Long Legs for you guys.
I don't know what it's about, but yes, it could be that horror movie.
It's a horror movie that's made a lot of money in its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So very popular. Nicolas Cage is in it. I know a little bit about what it's about, but one of the promos is the actress playing the lead hadn't seen Nicolas Cage in his makeup before the scene that they shot. She walked in and they measured her heartbeat from her resting heartbeat to her. To her her heartbeat when she saw him. She, her. shout out to Philip. And it was like at 178 when she saw his face.
Why they have a heart rate monitor on this woman?
Just to say it's a scary ass movie, that's all.
Okay.
That's the marketing behind it. And apparently it worked. A lot of people went out to see it.
I'm not saying it's gonna be a bad movie. I'm just saying like what a weird way to market it.
Just telling you. Well, I think they've hid his face throughout the marketing. So their point is, once you see it,
your heart rate will be 170.
Or maybe you're less healthy than her, and it's going to be worse.
You'll just die?
I don't know.
You'll just die.
That's the sell. Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 86, so well-reviewed as well. Long Legs.
Running the box office.
In theaters. Box office having a bit of a comeback. I mean, didn't help Furiosa.
No.
But after that, been just fine. I am done. I'm going to get lunch and then start the countdown. Sean's going to be around, but he'll be done at 1:30. Sorry, Paul. Maybe Sean will hit a clip every now and again. Maybe he'll play some sound. I can't guarantee it. But Gallant and George are up next. Sans George, he is in Orlando. Sean will work with Paul. Then you've got the Killer Bees. After that, when I come back tomorrow, I'll be a changed man. My life will have changed forever. Thanks to a video game. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We did it!
ESPN 97.5.